Welcome to the Noah Gorin Confessional, and I am currently back from university. I moved out of my dorm with the help of my very helpful father, and it's weird being back. It was weird last night lying with no one in the same room with me, knowing that my roommates are back home and everything. It's kind of a great metaphor. We get so comfortable in living. We get so comfortable in our own space, because I mean, I moved in on August 19th, and this place in Dahlonega has been my home. And so, you know, they say the difference between a house and a home is the people that are in it. And last night, for the first time ever, it felt just like a room. Didn't have any character. It didn't have the ability to go next door and knock on Lee's door and go for some crazy adventure, or go out to see whatever the new Marvel film was or is or still showing, or some crazy action movie. I didn't have that. When it comes to school and the pressures that we face, we're not immune to some sort of melancholy, some sort of relief, just being gracious that it's done. And I know I could have done better. We all could have done better. I don't know what I'm going, or where I'm going, or what I'm doing, because I could have done so much better this semester. And I'm not here to make excuses. But I want to talk about melancholy, because I feel like it's a word that we don't use all that often. It's a word that encapsulates so much. You know, I'm a big fan of Dead Poets Society. And in that film, he talks about, you know, don't say you're sad. Say you're morose. That words are our way of expression. But as men, it's hard to explain how we're feeling sometimes. So we go about it in a bad, brutish way, or we bottle it up. Divorce is something that I never want to experience for myself. Growing up as a product of divorce, I can see what it does mentally. Yeah, Christmases are killer, so great, but the emotional damage and the emotional toll when you are putting your all towards a relationship, so young too, it's scary. Because I guess it's, you know, divorce is the norm. If someone said, oh, my parents are divorced 30 years ago, it would have been like, oh, that's fucking insane. But now, it's pretty much all my friends. And it's such a damn shame that we can't make love last. Because love is one of those things. It's not some infinite resource that we have. It's finite. There's only so much we can give. There's only so much we can take. And I don't care how much someone tells you that they have an infinite amount of love, because eventually it'll run out if you don't fill it back up. We give all of our points and all of our efforts to making someone happy, but happiness isn't the same as love. Happiness can be found in love, but if your happiness is just found through love, then what does love really mean to you? Because in that, what if that person leaves you? What happens when that person dies? Are you just gonna live there like some miser, hating the world, cursing everyone's name, saying, oh, you don't understand the grand love that we have? Everyone dies. It's a part of the deal. You have so much time on this earth, but we waste it. Everyone's wasted years. We like to say that we've wasted days, or, you know, that's a moment I'll never get back. But when you total it up, we've wasted years. For what? Some more Instagram likes? A retweet? Why are we so caught up in the now instead of preservation of the future? And that goes with love. That goes with this mentality of the grass is greener on the other side. But we don't understand all of the work it takes to make that grass look green. You don't understand when looking at another relationship and you say, oh, it just works. Bullshit. No, it doesn't. They have issues. No couple is perfect. They have quarrels. I mean, unless you were built by a robotics company, you're going to have differences. You're going to have different tastes and preferences. And that's the beauty of a relationship, where you can keep your own identity and grow. There doesn't need to be some homogenization in a relationship. You shouldn't lose yourself. Now, I know we see all these old couples and it looks like they're one and they finish each other's sentences and it's cute, but you don't know the struggle that went through it. These couples that have been married for 40 and 50 years, that's dedication. Not some The Bachelor type bullshit 3-year marriage. Why didn't you try? And it's probably some naive point of view that I'm 19 years old and I'm talking about love and divorce and marriage as if I've gone through it, but I've seen it. Being the product of divorce, I don't know why people don't fight for love. Because to say those three words, I love you, takes more guts than anything you will do in life. Because it's a commitment. It's a, even when you're wearing a baggy t-shirt and the same sweatpants for 3 days and you're not feeling great, that I'll still love you. Just as much as when you are the belle of the ball. And that's beautiful. I love you has so much weight to it. But we throw it away. We don't understand it. And we look at the grass as greener, but we don't see the landscapers. The people who are out there sweating their fucking ass off to make the love work. And all of this makes me feel really nervous about love. I see so many people, especially on Tinder, who, and I appreciate their honesty, just say, oh, I'm just looking for a sugar daddy. Like, I'll trade sex for paid vacations and everything. I'm like, were you born to be a glorified prostitute? Because that's not love. It's lust. And lust is what takes over our culture. A lot of times when I see young couples, I don't see love. I see two rabbits just fucking and fucking and fucking. And I know this podcast isn't as elegant as the previous one, but it's true, and it's something that I feel passionate about. And it makes me feel sad for my own relationships, because I never want to go through a divorce. I never want to experience falling out of love with someone that you grew up with, someone that you grew with. Because divorce takes a toll on people. Because when you're a tree growing together, you're cutting off limbs, you're cutting it from the base, but there's still stumps. There's still wounds, and those will never ever heal. Despite what the bottle of alcohol that you're using to cope might tell you. There's no amount of drugs or alcohol or money that can fix a broken heart. Especially in a divorce. Especially one where you have loved each other truly. Have had absolutely nothing and gone through everything together. It makes me really sad. But I'm not one who's immune to sadness. I know because you're listening to a podcast. Podcasters don't have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. Sway doesn't have the answers. But a good word to describe it would be melancholy. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, that's a word we don't use very often. And melancholy describes me better than anything else. It's a state of being that I live in pretty much perpetually. And some days it manifests worse than others. It turns into full-blown depression. And I've been there. That leads to anxiety, and that leads to depression that makes it so I can't get out of bed. And that's what pushes it. But love has always been at the center. You can call me some old school romantic because it's true. I want love. I want the love you read about and that you see on the movie screen. I want it, and I know it sounds daft and stupid in this cold, cynical world, but I want it. And that's the problem with being raised emotionally. I wasn't raised around sports. I wasn't raised around a quote-unquote masculine culture. I was raised with the Smiths and old 80s rom-coms. And so it warped my perception of love. And going through toxic relationships and flings and all of that, I'm beat up. I'm tired. And I'm tired of searching for that one person. And that's why I'm happy that I'm talking to this girl. Because things feel healthy. I finally feel like I'm one of those couples. Well, we're not a couple. But, like, we have the potential to be one of those couples that doesn't fight publicly. That doesn't have loud screaming matches and crazy disagreements. Because one of my greatest icons and someone who I've always aspired to be like is Mr. Rogers. And this one interview said that when he was on set, he would never fight with his wife. And he would work it through and he would work it out. And I just want to be that. I just want to be happy. To find someone who can be truly my best friend. Someone who can be my neighbor. Well, that concludes this episode of the Noah Gorin Confessional. And I'm going to end with one of my favorite bits by this YouTube channel called The School of Life. And it's called On Feeling Melancholy. And I feel like it sums it up pretty well. I'll see you in the next episode.
Melancholy isn't exactly a word on everybody's lips. But we should pay more attention to it, even seek it out from time to time. Melancholy is a species of sadness that arises when we're open to the fact that life is inherently difficult and that suffering and disappointment are core parts of universal experience. It's not a disorder that needs to be cured. Modern society tends to emphasize buoyancy and cheerfulness, but we have to admit that reality is for the most part about grief and loss. The good life is not one immune to sadness, but one in which suffering contributes to our development. Melancholy is an underused word. It doesn't mean grim and miserable. It means grasping without rage the fact that the world is full of folly and greed, that it is rare to find inner peace, that it is hard to live comfortably with those we love, that it's very unusual to have a career that's both financially rewarding and morally uplifting, that many decent people have a very hard time. Often, sadness simply makes a lot of sense. We learn so late about stuff. You've wasted years. Everyone has. You can only avoid regret by switching off your imagination. The wisdom of the melancholy attitude, as opposed to the bitter or angry one, lies in the understanding that the sorrow isn't just about you, that you have not been singled out, that your suffering belongs to humanity in general. To take that fully to heart is to become more compassionate and less vengeful. The melancholy facts shouldn't make us desperate, rather more forgiving, kinder, and better able to focus on what really matters while there is still time.